you an opportunity again just to come around your word. And Lord, I just pray that you would again continue to draw at our heartstrings. And Father, that we would sense your compassion. And that, Lord, not only in sensing your compassion, that we would honour you by acting upon what you put in our hearts. Father, we pray this in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. This morning, you very rarely hear me ever talk about money. And when I do, I need to be upfront about it. So I'm unashamedly going to pull at your heartstrings. And I'm going to do that with the intent of trying to draw out of you the sponsorship we need for 30 children who Marita has identified and who you've seen already. And these children, we want to support that they might gain the education that we just take for granted. When I look at churches, churches are a needs-meeting community of people. And I think we only have to look at the floods, the cyclones, and all the things that are happening around our country right now to realise just how much the church works within the community. In fact, our local council actually says that without the church and without having the church in the community, the things that get done would never get done because they couldn't do it. So if that's a community like ours, imagine what it's like in a country like Uganda. Acts 2:45 confirms that when it says all believers were together and had everything in common. So God has a heart. Phil, can we have those slides? The next one, thanks. Thanks. God has a heart for the needy. And I just want to read a whole lot of scriptures right now so that you can hear what God's heart is. First is Psalm 72:12. For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. Psalm 12, verse 5, because the poor are plundered and the needy groan, I will arise, says the Lord. I will protect them from those who malign them. Psalm 40, verse 17, as for me, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord takes thoughts and plans for me. Psalm 72, 13, he will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. 107:41, but he lifted the needy out of their affliction and increased their families like flocks. 9:8, but God will never forget the needy. The hope of the afflicted will never perish. Psalm 35:10, my whole being will exclaim, who is like you, Lord? You rescued the poor from those too strong for them, the poor and the needy from those who rob them. And then finally, Psalm 69:33, for God listens to the poor. He doesn't walk out on the wretched. You know, if you want to do a nice Bible study, put the word poor, needy, wretched in the Bible and just find out how many scriptures you get. And just read them once or twice. It's an amazing pack of scriptures that indicates God's heart. But it's just not the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we move and we see that Jesus himself carried his Father's heart into the New Testament. And we know, of course, that he fed the poor, he fed the needy, he reached out to the vulnerable, he reached out to the rejected. He did the work of his Father and showed the heart of his Father. So no wonder when it came to the early church, it was just a normal thing to do, to care for the poor and the needy. And hence that scripture, they sold all that they had and they gave to anyone that had need. So who are the needy? Being needy is not necessarily all about being financially poor. The needy, I think, are those who lack that which is essential. So the question obviously is, what is essential? What's essential, I think, varies from generation to generation, from culture to culture, from person to person, and from day to day. You know, we have needy in our own midst. We have needy in our own community. We have needy around us. Now, when we look at the photos that Marita had and we talk about those things, the ones that we have are not needy, yet they are needy. For some, being needy might be having money enough to buy food. For others, it might be enough money to buy clothes. For others, it might be just need some money to pay bills and more bills and more bills. For others, being needy is all about their emotional and physical well-being. And then for others, it's just a spiritual need. The fact is that when I considered who is the needy, the truth of the matter is I think we're all needy. We all fit into a needy category. So what is and should be the church's response to the needy? Question. Do we do and follow the example of the early church? Do we sell all we have and give to the poor? Again, as I thought about that, some might think that's what you should do. But I don't think so. Because the truth of the matter is that if we sold all that we had, then we'd probably end up being poor and needy too. And that would just shift the problem to somewhere else. Maybe our church's response or our response should be to believe God for his blessing to be upon us, that we might give to those who are needy. Perhaps we could continue to thank God and praise God for what we have and start to recognize our blessings so that we are prepared to let go of some of those things that we think are necessary, that we might be able to help others. Another question I thought when I thought about what should the church's response be, I thought, should the church really be bothered about the poor? Now we know what Scripture says. But then Jesus said in John 12, you will always have the poor, but you'll not always have me. In fact, we have that great slogan that came out of the Uniting Church, make poverty history, which I think is a fantastic sentiment, but can never happen because Jesus said we'll always have the poor. However, Jesus did go on to say in Mark 14 that we can help the poor at any time, meaning that he wants us to help the poor. In fact, when we minister to the poor, it says in Matthew 25 that we are actually serving God. So the needy need action. Sometimes people are good at giving advice to the needy, but then doing nothing in regard to helping them. Action is actually evidence of your faith in God. James 2 puts it like this. Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you say to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Action is evidence that you love God. In 1 John 3, it says, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? So if God moves us with compassion to help somebody and we don't, then we're not showing the love of God. So the needy need doers. If you see it needs doing and you can do it, then do it. Of course, you can't do everything, but I believe if God puts compassion on our heart for something, then maybe it's because he wants us to start to act. Maybe it's because he wants us to do something about it. The needy, they need godly attitudes. How often do we hear a selfish attitude? Get a job. I've heard that said of beggars on the street. Get a job. Why don't you sort yourself out? Or God helps those who help themselves. Or why should I help you? I've worked hard for this. Why should I share it with you? Yeah, you're just getting what you deserve. I'm too busy looking after myself to waste time on you. You know, when I consider some of those statements, and I consider some of the throwaway lines that we often say in jest, I often think about what Jesus would feel. What was Jesus' attitude when we had no hope, when we needed a Savior? The Bible tells us that God gave his Son that we might have forgiveness, we might have salvation, we might have hope for a future. Romans 5 says it this way, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So, what is God's response to the needy? I think God's response is a twofold response. I think that there is what I would call his supernatural provision, and then his church. Philippians 4, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." That's the supernatural provision. We should never stop looking to God to meet our needs. You know, I said to Marita the other day when we were talking, I know that God has planted a vision in her. And the worst thing that she can do is to look to people to provide for that provision. If God invites you to a party, he's going to make certain that there's food at the table. So her job is not to worry about where it's going to come from. Her job is to stay focused on the vision. But on the same token, we know that God is going to use us as well. When we come back to the supernatural vision, he knows before we ask what you need. And he's waiting for a time of that need to come to pass so that he can meet it. We only have to start walking our way through the Bible to see that God's supernatural provision came in many miracles. Elijah, Moses, and the list just goes on and on and on. And so I know that God will provide for a Murray. I know that that building, the land, all the miracles that have happened so far attest me to the fact that God will provide. I don't have a problem with that. But I do believe that the church is part of the supernatural provision that God uses. The church is God's feet. God's feet that walk towards the needy and not away. You imagine what those people must have felt like when Marita trotted across that long grass and hopped into that house to assess those children to see if they were suitable. You imagine what those parents must have felt, the hope, the sense of, well, we're not carrying this on our own. Marita represents the church. The church is God's hands providing practical service. The church is God's voice that speaks words of comfort to the hurt and the broken. So God provides for the needy in two ways. In a supernatural, miraculous way that takes what we can use or what we can give and amplifies it beyond our understanding. And we know that on our own property. We know that in our own lives. But then he puts in us, his people, his church, his desires that we might help in meeting those needs. So the challenge for us today, for the children of Belusa, God has already supernaturally provided. He's provided a servant called Marita. He's placed around Marita, both here in Uganda, what I term friends of Marita. God's already supernaturally provided by training and equipping Marita for the task and putting it on her heart. He's already provided by steering her through obstacles, many obstacles, and giving her favor when she's needed it. And he's already provided supernaturally by using us and others to provide for the buildings, etc. And on your behalf, the elders last year gave $30,000 towards the building program. So it's now time to take another step. Another step to join in seeing this amazing vision continue to unfold. I often say to people, vision is easy. Maintaining the vision is the tough part. And so the next step of this amazing vision is meeting the needs of the needy. The needy being those children who lack what we see is basic and essential. What God has placed on Marita's heart, education. So how can we do that? We do that by being doers, by acting. As individuals, or as family groups, or as home groups, or as workmates, we can become partners with Marita and Amari by committing to support a child at school for a year. In a minute, Janet's going to come up and she's going to share some of the plans of how you can do that. But let me tell you now, a widow's mite is greatly appreciated. You add what you can and let God supernaturally expand it. Our aim today is unashamedly to see 30 children fully supported for the next 12 months at least. Obviously, you'll be aware that Amari's commitment in taking these children on is that once they start, they will go through to what we would call year 12 or year 10, whatever it might be for those children. So Janet, would you like to come and just share? Where are you? Come and share just the plans, and as soon as Janet's finished, I'm going to come back up, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to close the service.